it's just Connor at this point. Gabe is out for now. He will be back within the next couple of weeks. More on that when the time comes. But for now, it's just me with what I think is a very, very interesting thing to think about. Have you been discriminated against in your life? And if you have, or if you haven't, or if you're not sure, how would you know whether or not that happened? Well, obviously, there are many forms of discrimination. I'm going to read straight from a list because I tend to forget just how many forms there are. It can be based on your age that you're discriminated against, disability, national origin, obviously. You may be pregnant and discriminated against as a result, your race or color or ethnic background, your religion, your sex, and so on and so forth. All of these things can lead to you being discriminated against. But again, how would we know that that has probably happened to you? Well, there's an intriguing new study from UCLA, a college in the United States, that suggests there is a way to see that and to figure that out. And all you have to do is look at somebody's poo.
Science Unscripted.
So I'm Arpna Church, and I am an associate professor at the University of California, Los Angeles, and the co-director of the Goodman Luskin Microbiome Center. And this study was looking at experiences of discrimination and how that impacts the gut microbiome.
Dr. Church, what was the conclusion of your study?
So the study shows that experiences of high discrimination was linked to basically a higher gut microbiome diversity. So whether that's richness and diversity, but also we found that specific bacteria were less abundant in people who had a high discrimination. So things like Provotella and Rumina cocci.
So if you're discriminated against, you have what? More different kinds of bacteria in your intestines?
Yes, it was really interesting because these two specific bacteria were less abundant, which means there was less amounts of them. And these bacteria were really key because they've been associated with things like inflammation, or anti-inflammation. They actually advance or propagate anti-inflammatory properties. And we found that if you had more discrimination, you actually had less of these bacteria.
Which would kind of imply that if you've been discriminated against more, you would have more inflammation in your gut.
Correct. And so less of these anti-inflammatory properties, so less protective. But we also saw that experiences of discrimination were related to things like higher levels of depression, anxiety, perceived stress, early life adversity, visceral sensitivity, and neuroticism compared to the low discrimination group.
And the participants in your study, they were multi-ethnic, all genders represented. Who was in there in your study?
So these were 154 individuals, and there were multi-race, multi-ethnicity, male and female. For this particular study, we did not stratify or look at race and ethnic differences or even gender differences. And the reason why we didn't really do that is because we've done previous studies where we have looked at that. And, you know, generally, when you look at discrimination, what was interesting is that we find that regardless of race and ethnicity, there might be some nuanced differences in discrimination or experiences of discrimination, but they're not significantly different, which is really interesting because that suggests to me that we all experience discrimination. However, what we attribute the discrimination to will differ by race and ethnicity. So, for example, Black individuals will attribute their discrimination to maybe their race, their skin color, whereas white individuals might attribute their discrimination to things like gender or religion or socioeconomic status and things like that. So even though you have these subtle differences in discrimination, generally when you're looking at significant difference, there were no significant differences by race and ethnicity in that prior study, which is why in this study we just decided to look at everybody together.
So at the end of the day, I feel I've been discriminated against. And hence, I have a physiological reaction to that, which ultimately affects my stool, which is kind of crazy. How or where is that pathway? How can a sociological phenomenon affect the bacteria in my stool?
The pathway that we're most interested in is this pathway known as the brain-gut microbiome system. Generally from preclinical studies, so that's animal studies, and now more recently human studies, we know that this pathway is connected. We know that the brain and the gut microbiome are connected in this bi-directional way. So you have this top-down signaling from the brain going down to the microbiome, and then you have this bottom-up signaling going from the microbiome to the brain. And usually what happens when you experience stress or adversity like discrimination, there's a shift in the homeostasis of the balance and this bidirectional communication. And what I like to tell people is, you know, the brain and the gut microbiome are like BFFs. They're best friends forever. So if you have a change in the brain, you're eventually going to see changes in the microbiome. And if you have changes in the microbiome, you're eventually going to see changes in the brain. So the two really go hand in hand.
You found a connection or association between the bacteria that's present in someone's stool and levels of discrimination. I guess my question is it possible that you would see that same identical bacterial change if they had just been stressed out at work as opposed to being discriminated against, or if they'd been surprised or maybe even scared at like a haunted house or something? Could other factors change the microbiome in exactly the same way? Or is this like a bacterial fingerprint of discrimination?
So there is definitely an overlap, but what we do know is that it doesn't really matter how you conceptualize stress, this environmental psychosocial stress, whether it's discrimination, whether it's just stress in general, whether it's fear, anxiety, or even social isolation or discrimination. I don't think it really matters. I think what really the takeaway should be is that these psychosocial environmental stressors are important. We can't look at biology without looking where we live. We obviously don't live in a bubble, so we have to take these into account. And the third thing that's really important to pay attention to, and what we're showing evidence for, is that these psychosocial environmental stresses are not all in your head. They're actually impacting your biology and changing it in a way that can have detrimental effects and lead to downstream diseases like cognitive decline, like obesity, things like that.
What would you recommend for all of the people listening to you speak right now? What can they do with this information? I mean, we can't examine our own stools to see how the bacterial flora have changed. I don't think most people do that. Should they pay more attention when they go to the bathroom to see if anything has changed? Is there a practical use for this information?
You know, you can always look at your stool. I mean, I think the stool is a great way to kind of see whether there's something going on with your body, regardless of whether you have a disease or whether you're stressed or not. But, you know, the reality is, like you said, it's not practical. People are not walking around with stool kits. And then where do you send it to get analyzed and interpret and get somebody to help you interpret the data, right? And what does it all mean? I think what's important for us to remember is that we need to kind of be thinking about coping. So for example, at the brain level, we might suggest, you know, stress reduction, resilience training, even cognitive behavioral therapy. But I like to take it a step further and say, like, wow, we're finding changes in the microbiome, and it's really quicker to change the microbiome than it is to change the brain. I mean, they're both adaptable and they're both changeable, but you can change your microbiome within even 24 hours. So knowing that, you know, you can engage in things like a healthier diet, or when you're stressed, for example, you know, anecdotally, I like to say this, You're watching a movie, look at the media. When people are stressed, they're eating ice cream. Instead of reaching for that, why not reach for healthier diets? The other thing is, you know, there are a lot of supplements out there. You could take a prebiotic, you could take a probiotic, and you could intervene at least even at the microbiome level. So when you're stressed, go for those healthier eating habits that target the microbiome.
When I was talking to my colleagues about your research, one of them came up with this dystopian future scenario. And it was that you're at work, and without realizing it, your office measures or analyzes your stool when you're using the restroom. And they realize that you feel you're being discriminated against. And hence, you know, maybe we should let this person go or fire them before they, you know, sue us. And I know that's a wild scenario. It's science fiction, but how far away are we from having a doctor or medical personnel who could recognize discrimination just from a stool sample?
I think it's very possible, you know, and you don't even have to even go to the stool. You can just even look at the metabolites. But I honestly believe, I think it's not so much as identifying somebody who has discrimination, you know, because most people who experience discrimination also have other adversities. They never come in ones, right? So you might be, you know, obese and female, or have a disorder and you have low SES. They just never come in ones. I think as a physician, what's important is, like, when we recommend treatments for individuals, it's important to kind of like account for the fact that environmental stressors also play a role. So for example, if we're telling somebody, oh, I need you to go take Ozempic because you're diabetic and you need to lose all this weight, this person's going to look at you and be like, I live in a crappy neighborhood, I experience discrimination, I'm a low SES, like, that's not really going to work for me. So you're going to have to try to give me something else. So I think that's where we need to be thinking about and really taking this multi-pronged approach to interventions and treatments and helping individuals cope. Because the reality is, if they have a disorder or a disease, they might also have discrimination or experiences of adversity that we also need to account for when we're recommending treatments.
And that was Dr. Arpna Church talking to us from Los Angeles, from the University of California, Los Angeles, where she is an associate professor and the co-director of the Goodman Luskin Microbiome Center. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I guess I should repeat, I don't encourage any of you out there to start collecting or measuring your own stool samples. That's a terrible idea. But I think it's very, very, very interesting to think about the idea that your stool samples may contain bacterial clues to what is happening in your life. It's an area of research where I think we're going to get a lot more studies in the future. Again, anything to say on discrimination or stool samples, anything at all, please email su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.